and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the end of the series of tubes and wires we call the interwebs is Joe, Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
Slightly nauseous.
Slightly nauseous?
Yeah, you wouldn't believe what I found.
I'm almost scared to ask.
One of the reasons we did a two-part Crazy Comics is because one of the weeks where we had done a normal podcast, I had taken a vacation. And as you know, my daughter's graduated high school. She's going to college in the fall.
She is?
Yeah, I'm so old. But what we did is we went out to South Dakota.
That can make anybody nod.
No, actually, that was the fun part. The reason why
the crickets enjoyed that joke.
Yeah, well, you know. One of the reasons we went is because I don't know how many people pay attention to politics other than like when Michelle Bachmann is talking. Minnesota politics, that is. But
people pay attention to Michelle Bachmann?
Apparently. She's getting all sorts of press every time I turn around. And she is.
Yeah, I'm so glad I don't watch the news anymore.
She is slightly cuter than Sarah Palin. I'll give you that. But Minnesota.
We're going to need to talk about what cute means.
Minnesota basically shut down, at least the government part of it. No rest areas, which really sucks when you're traveling. More importantly for us.
The plants are getting watered by the side of the freeway more frequently.
True. And more importantly for us, all the state parks shut down. And, our original plan was to kind of do a Four Corners tour of the state. I mean, we are, what, the fourth biggest state, and we have, like, state parks in all four corners and some nice ones in between. And we thought, well, let's do that kind of a tour, keep in Minnesota, keep the money here. But no, they had to go done, shut them all down. So when we saw this coming about a month ago, we said, screw this. We're going to South Dakota.
We're loading up the truck and moving to Beverly.
It seemed like it. I don't know for those of you been out to South Dakota, and of course we're talking the West End because everything in between it's kind of flat and boring. Well, it's kind of curly and there's a corn palace, you know, I mean. But we went there and, you know, I could talk about how cool it was to see, you know, things like the missile silo monument where they actually have one of the control rooms you can go down into and tour it and try to envision. I mean, it was probably, you know, a third the size of your trailer and these guys did 24-hour shifts in it, you know, praying or hoping no nuclear Armageddon was there coming their way. And then you can go visit an actual silo. You can't go down into it, but you can, you know, peer down into it and they have a make of a Minuteman missile. And the day we were there was actually pretty cool because we met a guy who, in his military career, actually serviced these silos, so he could talk about what it was like to go down in there. I could talk about what it was like driving up the Needles Highway, you know, where one side's lift and the other side's straight down death. And when you get to the very top, there's a one-lane tunnel through rock, and if your car's too big, you have to figure out a way to turn around and go down. I could talk about Mount Rushmore. I could talk about Crazy Horse. I could talk about the
Is Crazy Horse done yet?
No, but he does have a face.
Damn it!
But what I can talk about are the three comic shops that I visited.
Oh!
So I figured that would be a little more interesting than a lot of boring other guff. Because, you know, the first thing I do whenever I go anywhere is you type in Google, you know, just comic shops, the state, and they give you a fairly accurate list of which comic shops are around. There's been a few times I've gone looking for comic stores that have closed. But in this case, we're going to a couple small towns. The first one I visited was called Storyteller Comics and Games. This is in Rapid City. And I do recall being there before because we've been to Rapid City in a previous trip. And it's a nice little shop. It's got graphic novels. It's got comics, some toys, some statues. The one thing I didn't do is I didn't bring my CBG comic book checklist and price guide, and I really should have because they had a bunch of discount comics. I could have just rifled through them and, you know, maybe filled a few holes. It's hard to say. Unfortunately, we were there over the week of July 4th. So the days that I visited two of the comic stores, they didn't have new comics. It's one thing when you've been a longtime comic geek like Corey and I is when you go into a shop, your eyes are instantly drawn to something that you've never seen before or that just ain't available locally. I did not have that reaction when I was in Storyteller and Comics. I did kind of poke around, check a few things. Sad to say, I did leave not buying anything. But
Slacker.
Yeah, it was it's a nice store. In Rapid City, it's probably the only store, at least the only one that I know of. With that in mind, I decided to knock off another state in my never-ending quest to visit all 50 states in the Union, something probably most presidential candidates have never done. We did take a trek north to Bismarck, North Dakota. The real reason there was to visit the zoo up there because my oldest daughter, having worked at the Como Zoo out in St. Paul, really likes going to other zoos. And the one thing that always gets us is, first of all, Como Zoo is a free zoo here in St. Paul, Minnesota. You can just walk in. You know, they accept donations, but it's free. Every other zoo we've been to has not been. So it's always a shock when we get there and you go, you want $7 for this? Now, the Bismarck Zoo was open, fortunately, because although half of North Dakota seems to be underwater, seriously, we're driving down 94 on the way home. And, I mean, I like driving, thank God, because it is boring. There's nothing to look at except farm fields, more farm fields, and still more farm fields. And you suddenly get to this little dip in the road, and traffic has to slow to about 25 miles an hour. Because apparently North Dakota, they just built their freeways over existing swamplands and lakes or whatever. Well, now these lakes are rising and bubbling up. So if they didn't, like, put a 5-foot dike among each side of the freeway, said lake slash swamp slash wetland would be now over Highway 94. So they had you slow down to 94, you squeeze into one lane. This happened about two times on 94. And, you know, if you've been watching the news, you realize, you know, Minot, North Dakota, totally underwater. In Bismarck, well, I should say the Minot Zoo, basically, they'd evacuate all their animals. There's actually some down in St. Paul, Minnesota. A couple went to the zoo in Bismarck. The Bismarck Zoo lucked out because they decided to build the flood wall to the west of the zoo, which is where the Missouri River is flooding, versus the east of the zoo, which would have basically wiped out the entire zoo. So they evacuated their animals. They just got them back July 1st, and we came in. We visited them July 6th, I think. So, you know, it's a fun zoo. Most of the other park along the river, you can see where they're just trying to clean it out. And things are, oh, I don't know how you would say it, wet, you know. You can see where some of the roads go down into the river. You're like, what the heck was down there? You know, fortunately, Collector Universe in Bismarck, North Dakota, is way above the wet zone. Most of Bismarck is. Unfortunately, this is one of those classic small store comic shops that the guys in there were really nice. I should mention in the other comic store I went to in Rapid City, I didn't get greeted by anybody that walked in, but there was a really old lady there that I had a feeling was probably somebody's mom just watching the place. Not that I ever did that in my store.
No.
Never, never. Anyways, Collector Universe, there were a couple guys that were sorting through their magic cards, I think baseball cards maybe, and really friendly. First thing he did, he kind of apologized. He said, you know, we're trying to reorganize the shop. Everything's kind of a mess. And it was. There were no new comics yet. Things were hard to find. They had weird racks hanging randomly on the wall. But in true comic fashion, I basically started digging through. They had a pretty nice, what's the word I'm looking for, eclectic bunch of books that, you know, you'd be going through looking, here's a run of the new Hercules series. Here's a picture of, or here's a Amazing Heroes from, who's that, First Comics or whatever, number one, two, no, three. they had sets put together where it was like they had the first five issues, but not the sixth issue. It was kind of fun because you, first of all, you had to find the box, and second of all, you never quite knew what you'd run into. So, hopefully the shop gets more coordinated as time goes on. Like I said, they were nice guys, good conversation. They were familiar with the comic shops down in the cities. You know, they mentioned the Source where I buy most of my books and stuff. So that was kind of nice. And the last shop I visited on the way home in Fargo, North Dakota, don't you know? Paradox Comics and Cards. Very nice store, half comics, half games. I come to the conclusion that most game stores, you know, I'm not very impressed with, because we've got the Source in Minnesota, which is, what is it, 3,600 square feet?
Something like that.
And at least 2,000 of it.
It's huge!
And 2,000 of it is games. So, I mean, to just see a few games on the shelf doesn't impress me. But Paradox Comics was fun because they had a lot of comics. They had new comics, so I picked up the two big ones going on, Flashpoint 3 and what's the Marvel one? Fear Itself?
Fear Itself.
Ooh. And I'm glad I did, because when I got home, I found out the local comic store had sold out. So,
really?
Well, you know, again, it was Uncle Sven's. For whatever reason, they didn't pull them for me, but I had them. I wasn't going to make a big fuss about it. I'm sure if I had gone over to the Source, which, again, is huge, they probably would have had them, but I didn't. But what was really fun with Paradox Comics, again, they're friendly people. They said hi. They greeted you. Not so much in graphic novels, which is kind of surprising. But they had a lot of new back issues, bagged and boarded, ready to go. But the coolest thing they had was about 20 to 30 boxes full of comics for 10 cents a piece. And Corey, let me tell you what was in these comics. Oh, I would say almost anything published in the 1990s.
Oh!
I mean, I went through, and I mean...
So it's cheese box.
It was things that I remember looking at, and when they first came out, these are things that were so super hot that, I mean, when I had my comic store, I sold them at full price, if not more. I mean, they included things like Bloodstrike with, remember the rub
the blood,
rub the color, all the gold variants you'd want or shiny variants.
Now here's the thing about Bloodstrike.
They had
hold
that.
On. Hold kindred. On, I got to think about the Bloodstrike. That was, you'd rub the cover and the heat of the friction of your hand would make the blood stains go away. Except after about a year, you'd rub that and nothing would change. And then about 2 years, you'd rub it and whatever the chemical was that did that came off on your hands. Oh. And I would look at my hand would be like covered in this red dots and stuff. I was like, oh my God. This thing's poisoning me.
It was fun. Let me tell you, running through everything. I found they even had our old favorite. Sorry, they had Death. Somebody about that.
Whenever you do that, I feel like Vince McMahon and Beyond the Mat. Have you seen Beyond the Mat?
No, I haven't.
It's a documentary about wrestling, and Darren Drozdov's there for his tryout. And his thing is that he could puke on command.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Vince talks to him and says, you know what? We're going to call you puke. That way the announcers are going, he's going to puke. He's going to puke.
I spent, much to my family's annoyance, probably about a half hour just really whipping through these 10-cent books. And I just picked up stuff. I don't care what it was, but at 10 cents, you know, one of the things I'm trying to do is finish my Ultraverse collection. I picked up like 48 copies of various Ultraverses that I was just guessing. Only 16 of them were books that I actually didn't have yet. So if anybody wants a stack of cheap Ultraverse books, send me a note. And all you do is pay shipping, I'll give them to you. I figured at 10 cents a piece, who cares? They had...
Wait. Speaking of paying... Uh-oh. This year's show has sponsors. Our first sponsor is DreamHost, the best damn web host in the whole known universe, DreamHost.com. I have been with them for now 12 years. I haven't had a single problem. Anytime there's a problem with the websites, All I have to do is send them an email. They send back an email that tells me how to fix it, or they send me an email that says they have fixed it. They're wonderful. They're one of the cheapest web hosts on the internet. Now that GoDaddy's in all kinds of trouble for their shifty, weaselly, evil practices, DreamHost does all the same thing as GoDaddy, does it cheaper, and you go to their website, put in the code CRAZY, K-R-A-Y-Z, you get $20 off your first year's worth of hosting. We also have worldwide news at worldwidenews.solitairerose.com, part of the Solitaire Rose family of websites, of which this podcast is a part. Worldwide News.
Part of.
Worldwide News is the story of the lowest rated cable news network and the people who work there in convenient web comics form, drawn by Dangerous Dan Moore and written by me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. We have another sponsor, but that's later in the show.
Yeah. I just wanted to share some of the titles I picked up in the quarter, in the dime bin. I mean, seriously, if they weren't like 200-300 miles away, I'd say we do a road trip up there, because it was so much fun just to dig through these books. I mean, basically, they're almost every book you and I probably stocked at Hot Comics as, you know, highly desirable collectibles. But I just wanted to share a couple other titles. I just picked up random stuff. Like they had from Fleetway Quality Comics something called Chopper, Earth, Wind, and Fire. Two-issue series from their UK line. What the heck? Picked up from Eternity Comics, The Trouble with Girls, number 19, just because I like the cover. I picked up issues 5 through 11 of a miniseries called The Incomplete Death's Head. Corey, do you know why it's incomplete?
Why, no, Joe, I don't. Well, partly because you only got a few issues of it.
Well, there is that. But basically what they were doing, this happened, what's the date here? 1993, where Marvel was coming out with an ill-conceived line called Marvel UK, where at, I mean, what were comic prices back then? They were, what, $1.99 or something?
Yeah.
And so for $2.99, you could get a reprint of a Marvel UK title of characters you didn't care about. And they tried to goose it up by having it, you know, they had Marvel characters actually interacting with them, but with the exception of the Incredible Hulk, none of them had any interaction with the mainstream Marvel US books. So in other words, you had to pay a buck more to find out about characters you didn't know about, the draw being that you might see the X-Men in it. And as I remember, with the exception of the very shiny covers, the line didn't last too long and kind of collapsed upon itself. One of the bright spots was Death's Head. Now, this was a character that came out earlier. Death's Head is basically a robotic assassin with the Yoda complex who tends to talk to itself in a background noise. What they did is they totally destroyed what was unique about Death's Head and made another character called Death's Head 2, which if I hope to, we'll never talk about again.
Is Death's Head, Death's Head 2 Electric Boogaloo?
Oh, that would have made it sell better. What was fun about Death's Head is that he originally showed up as an assassin in the Marvel UK Transformer line. At the time this was being published, you could not... Now, the Incomplete Death's Head was the reprint of the original Death's Head miniseries. Well, it wasn't a miniseries. It just happened to go, I think, 12 issues and then got canceled. But you couldn't reprint his first appearance in the Transformer comics. You couldn't reprint the two times he went after Doctor Who. Again, Marvel was publishing Doctor Who in the Marvel UK line. Whereas in the... U.S. at this time, he wasn't being published. So you couldn't show those particular things. It's kind of like the same issues, and I don't know if we ever talked about it, where like when you read Marvel 2-in-1, Thing teams up with Doc Savage in one of the issues. They'll never reprint that because they don't have the rights to do Doc Savage anymore. They don't have the rights to reprint the Kiss comics anymore. They don't have the rights to reprint Marvel... Oh, number 50, the Alice Cooper thing.
Yeah.
You know, there's certain books that they just can't reprint
They can't reprint the Spider-Man meets the Not Ready for Primetime Players issue of Marvel Team Up.
So that's why in Marvel, at least, they published it and they had a little fun with it. They called it the incomplete set. And if you ever get a chance to find the issues, it's actually fairly fun to read. I found them for 10 cents a piece. The only other two comics of note, like I said, that I picked up a copy of Illuminator number one, Nelson's comic from the Marvel line, part of their Christian line. Just because if I have it, great. If not, whatever. Oh, I also picked up a book that I believe you bought for me, Corey, and I've never picked up from you. Image United number one, the Savage Dragon cover. That's right. Paradox has taken the entire run of Image United, what they had left, and just thrown it in a dime box. They're just washing their hands of it.
Well, how late is issue four? Like a year?
I don't know. Did I post on the website?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Late list counting no comic no shows. That's worth reading. It's kind of funny.
Actually, why don't we go through that?
Okay.
And we can talk a little about them.
Sure.
It's interactive, folks. It's our first interactive session.
The official Crazy Comics and Stuff podcast page, which all good friends of ours on Facebook should have marked by now. And if not, go ahead, get on there. It's free.
We still only have 60 people who like us. So I know there are more of you out there.
That download.
Last episode, it already got 1,050 downloads in a week.
Cool.
So I know there are people out there. So here we go. The first one is Green Lantern 67. It's only running 2 weeks late. It's already come out, I believe. Yeah. Or it's out next week.
It's got to be, yeah, I haven't picked it up yet. It's got to be next week.
There's the Green Lantern movie prequel, supposed to come out in May, still hasn't shown.
Which is really a bad idea because I've been hearing really bad things about the Green Lantern movie. Although there is
I saw it and it was okay. You know, I'm not going to say it was the greatest movie ever, but a lot of people were like, oh, it was painful. No, 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 no. You want painful? I'll give you painful. What is it? I Am Number Four. That was a painful piece of dog shit. Green Lantern? It was just average. It was a fun summer movie. Stuff blew up. Astonishing Captain America.
Status on the back burner. 2 months late.
Pretty much they've said it's not going to come out for a while because the artist is unbelievably slow.
Well, and that's what they should do. They should just get it done and then go for it.
Superior number 5. Wow, a Mark Miller book is late?
I'm shocked. How many months?
It says 4 months. Wasn't there he has now left Marvel to go do create her own miniseries, which is basically he's going to take his movie pitches and make us buy them. But when he did this the last time, wasn't there one of those miniseries, The Unfunnies, that just never got done?
I've never heard of that. I'd have to look that one up.
See, Batman Europa with Jim Lee doing the art. Gosh, it's not out yet. And
5 months.
Anybody want to bet that one's never coming out? Well, I saw it on the cover, and it's art by Jim Lee. Well, we'll never see that. It was on the cover.
That's scary, because isn't he doing Justice League in the reboot?
Yep.
Okay.
And anybody who believes that book's coming out on time has lost their tiny little mind. They may have the first, like, 3 or 4 issues come out on time, and then... And for those people who say, well, Jim Lee used to... You know, Jim Lee has always been late. One of the reasons, if you go back and read the X-Men, there'd be like 2 issues from him, and then 1 by Will Portacio, and 3 by him, and then like 4 by Silvestri. It's because Jim Lee is always horribly late. Always. Always, mm-hmm. always. Image United number 4 was supposed to come out April 2010.
Mm-hmm. All right, we talked about that one.
Let's see. Pilot Season Hardcore. It's a year and a half late. I don't think that one's ever coming out. See, Captain America White by Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale.
Listen to status. Unknown, presumed dead.
3 years late.
Yeah.
The 12 number 9. I have a story about this one. The artist on the book, Chris Weston, announced that he has the last all 4 scripts he needs to draw the 12. And all I have to say is when that thing comes out, no one will remember it.
No, which is
they
too
better
bad,
do cause... something, because when issue 9 finally ships, it's going to hit the shelves and people will go, I've never heard of this, and it's on the 9th issue? What the hell?
And that's the thing about this, is that they came up with a bunch of really interesting characters, took them from World War II, pushed them forward, and had they kept them going, you know, eventually these would be guys you could play with in the greater Marvel Universe. But like you said, who's going to care? Maybe they'll all be dead by issue 12. They might as well be, because no one's going to care, like Sentry.
It's like more heroes?
All these characters that showed up in Marvel or DC Universe, like the Archie, Red Circle guys, the Thunderbolts. I mean, they're all gone with the reboot, but it was kind of like, what's the point of shoehorning these guys in if they're just not going to? I mean, you got all the Static Universe characters. You got all these characters. It used to be easy. Okay, they're their own separate universe. But, you know, they got rid of all that crap because it was too confusing. So now they just try to shoehorn these guys in, and they'll disappear after time as soon as the rights are gone. I don't think we're going to see any more Archie heroes running around Marvel or DC Universe. I don't know what they're doing with the Thunder Agents.
War Heroes, number 4 of 6. That's one of the Mark Miller books. Yeah, I don't remember it either.
Yeah, me neither.
All-Star Batman and Robin the Boy Wonder.
DC said the series would be relaunched, a 6-issue series. We promised that was supposed to be in February, so obviously it hasn't happened.
Fell number 10.
Now that one sucks, because that I actually started selling when I had Crazy Comics, a little store. And
yep.
It sold well, and it was they dropped it to what, $1.50 or $1.90? It was
$1.99, 16 pages. Every issue was self-contained. And the other book they had in that format was Casanova, which has since gone over to Marvel and is now normal format. Casanova, by the way, was amazingly good. Amazingly good. It's not easy to read, but it's so good.
Actually, I saw him in the dime box up in Paradox, so go get him.
Desolation Jones, number 9, another Warren Ellis book. I wouldn't hold my breath on that. That's the thing. Whenever anybody talks about a Warren Ellis thing, it always gets launched with, oh, my God, this will be great. And its problems for the past will never happen again. And then they fizzle out. Like,
yeah.
On the Comic Geek Speak Board, they were going on and on about Dr. Sleepless and how this is different. And this is a monthly, and Ellis is and then, you know, like 5-6 issues came out. Only the first 3 were on time. Then it was like a month, 2 months between, 3 months between, and now it's gone. And no one can tell me if they finished the story or not. Why should I bother?
Yeah.
Batman, Spawn, Inner Demons. Yep, this was from back when you owned the small shop.
I don't actually recall ordering it. Not that it matters. It's been missing for 54 months.
Yeah, it was supposed to come out in December 2006. Wild Siders, number 3 of 5, supposed to come out in April of 2006. That was written and drawn by J. Scott Campbell. Was supposed to be his big return to comics.
That one I remember, because we ordered enough of number 1 to get whatever the premium was, and we didn't get – we ordered enough of number 2, and I ended up, I think, with 10 number 1s on the shelf and 1 number 2, and I'm pretty sure I closed the store with that number.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, and, you know, it sold well, but it just kind of died. It's kind of like Savage Dragon. I remember whatever the Savage Dragon issue, I think 127. And it just, I don't recall another issue of Savage Dragon in the 2 years the little shop existed. There may have been one, but there was a long time that was the only thing there. You know, it was almost like it was a spot holder, you know.
Well, we're talking about shops, so you know what that means, Joe.
What does that mean?
It means we are in Tales from the Shop, which has its own theme music by Chris B. at BroomhildaMusic.com. We'll pause here and let the music play. Now, one of the thousands of listeners has said we ought to have a contest.
Uh-oh.
For someone to write music for the theme. Now, the last time we had a contest, Joe,
mm-hmm.
we had one entry.
Oh, did he win?
Well, yeah, he got the free tickets to I think it was either Spring Con or Fall Con, one of the conventions.
Cool.
But we had one entry.
Hey, see, pays to win.
So I don't want to have a contest where only one person sends stuff in. But if people want to send in possible lyrics for the Tales from the Shop theme, Chris B has said that she would record it as a song.
Cool.
And one of the ideas that Chris B and I bopped around is that everybody who sends in lyrics might get their theme played, and we would have like four or five different themes. Kind of like when you're listening to Howard Stern and they have all kinds of different songs for Robin and her chest. Now, Chris B, she doesn't have a lot of gigs lined up over the summer. Let's see, Thursday, July 14th, which is just in a few days. She'll be at Patrick's Cabaret at 3010 Minnehaha Avenue, Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's the Cinema Night short film series, and it's a free show. Come for the music, stay for the movies. She is also going to be at the Michigan Women's Music Festival on August 2nd in Cedar Rapids, Michigan. Thursday, September 22nd, she will be at the Farm Folk Alliance at 205 Remington Boulevard, Bolingbrook, Illinois. She has a CD out. You can either buy it on iTunes. If you look up Chris B, It Was You, or you can buy it directly from her with her PayPal site. You can donate. Now, one of the things that she wanted me to talk about is she's getting ready for another trip. On her last trip, she bundled everything up in a van and took off through the Northeast doing gigs and playing in different places and kind of getting her name out and selling CDs on the road. She wants to do that again, but she's going to need donations. She's going to need help. So the best way to help is to buy that CD. It Was You. I have a copy of it. I listen to it a lot. She's a wonderful performer. It's that singer-songwriter acoustic stuff. So, you know, if you're a sensitive guy, or if you're trying to get a girl, you know what? If you're trying to get a girl and you're a metalhead, put this in when the girl gets in your car and she'll think that you're all emotional and sensitive and stuff. You could trick her into thinking that you care.
Are you talking from experience?
No, I don't have any experience. And I'm not a metalhead either. Let's remember, I'm a rockabilly guy. Metalhead guys, they go out and they kill cats. Us rockabilly guys, we listen to music and dance. I'm saying bad things about metal guys, aren't I?
Yep.
Okay. So, Tales from the Shop. We've already done a whole bunch of shows on late books.
Well, I'll tell you one thing about late books. And I, just as I was thinking, you know, like I said, rummaging through the stuff up at Paradox and just looking at the list we've got posted on our Facebook page. Books like that really were tough. I dealt with them in two ways. At the big store, you know, where you might have like, you know, your 100, 300 copies of X-Men, its profits might cover, say, All-Star Batman, that sold really well and then just kind of died, and you got all these books that are basically dead in the water. Like Deathmate.
He's gonna puke! He's gonna puke!
I thought it was gonna happen. But Deathmate's a perfect example. You know, we ordered Heavy, Dark Horse got theirs out on time, and then Image just blew theirs. Now, back then, the return window was 90 days. They had 90 days to ship it. Well, you're talking July, then they have to what? August, September, October to ship the books way after the summer sales were done. This is part of what started changing the market for the better, because I think it was only one of the Deathmate books were returnable. And that ended up being Deathmate Red, the one that Rob Liefeld was doing, which really between that and Black were the only two that have anything of interest in it. you know, Black being the first real appearance of Gen 13. Again, who cares? A bunch of characters you didn't care about. As soon as J. Scott Campbell drew them, you cared about them. So at the big shop, eventually the books would just disappear. They would go. You might process a few of them, Corey, make back issues out of them. They weren't complete sets, so you couldn't finish complete sets. You know, if an issue ever did come out, I could pull the old issues out, put them on the shelf, and do something. Sometimes I would do, like, half price, you know, boom, the new one's here, buy the old ones for half price. More often than not, they would just go right into the quarter box. At the little shop where money was a little more critical and you didn't have, you know, large runs of book covering the small runs, you know, you returned what you could, which meant ripping the covers off, sending them back, or you just took a bite on them and you know, I'd go to a con and, you know, just sell stuff 50 cents a piece, three for a buck at the end of a show, sell them to a bottom feeder for $10 a long box and just get it going. That's all I got about that. Late books suck.
One of the things I want to mention is how you've got these companies and creators who put out miniseries, and if the miniseries doesn't end, those books are basically just a waste because no one's going to buy 1 and 2 of 5 if only 1 and 2 of 5 ever come out. Mm-hmm. And for me, what happened was it would make it so I would just it would make me mad about the creators. And the best example is there was a comic that Chester Brown did called Underworld. And it was, he had finished up Yummy Fur, which parts of which I like and parts of which I just was completely grossed out about. But I picked up Underworld, and the first couple of issues were really confusing. You knew something was going on, but you couldn't quite figure it out. And by the third or fourth issue, you figured out you're seeing the world from a newborn baby's point of view as things start to get clearer and you start to understand more. And I thought it was fascinating, but I guess sales weren't good enough because he just kind of stopped and moved on to other stuff.
Mm.
So you're left with part of a story. Same thing with Stephen Bissett's Tyrant. Loved that.
Oh, yeah.
Loved it. And he did, I think, 4 issues and then done. And again, ended on a cliffhanger. And for both those creators, it soured me on them. It made me think, well, I'm not even going to bother to buy their stuff until it's done and collected. Warren Ellis, same thing. You know what? And I joke about it whenever his name comes up. Warren Ellis, I'm not buying his stuff till it's done unless it's at Marvel or DC. And even at DC, I won't buy his creator-owned stuff. Why? Planetary.
Yeah. Much better as
3 years to put out the final issue. 3 years. And the next to last issue, it took 2 years. Well, now I'll buy it. It's done.
I do recall that I would, you know, we had how we tracked things originally before we got it fully computerized is I would have lists in a 3-ring binder that I would print out. And what I would do is
are you making cocktails over there, Joe?
No, Holly just decided to make some cereal while we're recording.
I'll have a martini and a gin gimlet.
Holly can give you some slightly warmed ocean spray cranberry juice.
Oh, fine.
Anyways, to finish the thought, what I would do is take one of those books, Batman All-Star, print out the list, put it in a file somewhere, and if I ever saw it being published again in previews, I would go to everybody on the list quickly and say, do you still want this? And I could almost guarantee at least 25% would say no. You know, I hated just
the other 75% and say, what?
Well, those were people
the hell's that
figured
that I've never heard of that
anyways, but so, you know, you didn't want to throw away the whole record, but I mean, I wish I still had those files because it'd be funny. Some of the titles that just disappeared off into the Netherland. And 90% of those titles are now in the 10 cent box at Paradox Comics. Another reason to go up there. If you go up there, tell them we told you to go there because we like free stuff. Maybe they'll give us.
Nobody gives me anything free anymore.
Oh, Corey.
They all go, well, you've got a job now.
I got some sad news.
Oh, no. Sad news, everyone.
Yeah, run some sad news. It's reported, I believe, on sci-fi.com, and I'm reading this off Parallel Universe. The next Star Trek movie, you know, the big one that we all went gaga for last year.
Yes.
Probably not coming out in 2012. Maybe Christmas, probably 2013. It's not even in production yet. In fact, a final script is yet to be turned in because they want it to be perfect. I mean, never mind that Abrams is doing, what was that one just came out? Super 8?
Yeah.
TV series called Huckletrats. Screenwriters are being pulled different directions. One guy wrote a Prometheus for director Ridley Scott. Kurtz and Orky, two of the more, they're working on Cowboys and Aliens, which is coming out. We've talked about. So, you know, it's a bad theme I see coming. Late comics, late movies.
Well, no, one thing to remember about that Star Trek movie, that Star Trek movie was supposed to come out. It came out late. It was delayed by, I think, 7 or 8 months. And part of it was they wanted to do some work on the special effects. And part of it was, quite honestly, they looked at everything that was coming out that Christmas and said, we're going to get buried. We need to move to where there are fewer movies. So they moved to where there were fewer movies, and it worked out.
Mm-hmm. I'll give them that.
Now, this is kind of a potpourri hodgepodge, so I'm going to talk a little bit about comic sales. We have the sales figures for May. They just came out about a week or so ago. Nothing in May sold over 100,000 copies.
What?
Fear Itself, number 2, sold 96,000. Flashpoint, number 1, sold 87,000 copies. Now, this is before everybody found out that Flashpoint... Oh, guess what? Flashpoint changes everything at DC. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. No. We're canceling everything and starting with number 1s. Oh, okay. So I'm going to be interested to see how that affects reorders. But Fear Itself, number 2, 96,000. We'll just go down the top 10. Green Lantern, part of a crossover, was 75,000. Avengers, part of a crossover, 68,000. Fantastic Four, number 3, the first book on the list that's not part of a huge crossover, 67,000. Green Lantern Corps, number 60, 61,000. Fantastic Four, number 4, 60,000. Batman Incorporated, number 6, at 60,000. You realize we've gotten to, by the sixth best-selling comic, we've lost a third of the sales. We're already top 10 books selling 60,000 copies. New Avengers, number 12, 60,000. Amazing Spider-Man, number 661, sold 59,000. Now, when you go down to the bottom of the list, however, number 300 is Robert E. Howard's Savage Sword, sold 2,900 copies. Back when, in like 99, when comics couldn't get any sales above 100,000 without something completely psycho going on, the bottom comic would sell between 700 and 900. So things are not as bad as then, but it also means that comic sales are kind of flattening out. And one of the things that I used to point to show kind of how many people were involved in comics is the big crossovers could sell 120,000 to 150,000 copies. Well, now they're selling about 2/3 of that. So I'm wondering if people are just leaving comics.
I would think.
And the people who are staying in, they're spreading out what they buy. It's not, oh, I have to buy the Avengers and I have to buy the X-Men. Or at DC, I have to buy the Batman, and I have to buy the Justice League, and I have to buy the Green Lantern. It's more spread out, but I think there are fewer people buying.
Can I know we were going to wait and talk about this, but I did get the previews with the DC relaunch. And
by the way, want to tell readers, we said we were going to do the numbers for that. We are pushing that back to next week because work has been crazy for me, and Joe doesn't seem to care.
Exactly. We're talking how many... 52 titles. Guess how many I'm actually going to buy?
12.
Oh, way low. Way, I should say way high.
Three, really? Five,
six. There are only six titles I give a rat's ass about. One of them is Justice League by Jim Lee. So in reality, five titles. And there's three I'm curious about, which I might do as graphic novels. I can tell you what they are now, or I can, we can wait till next week. It doesn't really matter.
Why don't we wait till next week?
I'll tell you the thing about Marvel. There's exactly one title that I'm looking, that I'm vaguely interested in. You're talking out of the new previews books. Now, we're not talking existing titles. I do collect Amazing Spider-Man. I am collecting
How many issues behind are you?
Well, let's just say Spider-Man Island will probably be over by the time I get to it.
Okay.
But with the exception of FF and maybe Thor, there's nothing else I'm looking to buy. I mean, I think I picked up X-Factor just because Peter David's writing, and he seems to be fairly stable on writing it. But everything else is just, I mean, I used to look at these books and I would seriously be buying 5 to 10 to 20 new titles, miniseries. It's just not there. Am I getting old or am I just getting cheap? I suspect both, because I really love 10-cent comic books at Paradox Comics, even though it is 300 miles away from me right now.
I think there's a part of that, but I also think, and I'm seeing this with a lot of comic fans that I know, where they're, you know what, I'm not excited anymore. Now, me, there are still books that excite me. There's still books that I go, ooh, ooh.
Yeah, we're keeping this PG, right? We're not talking about the adult Eros titles, right?
Yeah, I haven't bought any. Well, I take that back. I bought one, and that was the one by Bill Willingham.
Okay.
That's right, kids. Before he did Fables, he did porn.
Woohoo!
Now, for me on the DC thing, DCB Service, who has not bought an ad, so screw them. But I buy my comics from them. They are doing all the 52 DC number ones for 50% off. You get the entire bundle. So instead of $159.48, it's $79.74. And that's less than I spent this month on DC. So I just said, you know what? I'm going to get it. I will try them all. And the bad thing is it's in September, so you have less time to read. But I am going to make a concerted effort to read all of them. And when the show relaunches with new, younger people and a new number one, and forgetting all our old continuity, whoever takes my place is going to give brief reviews of all 52 books. You know the show's ending in August, right, Jeff?
Well, I have an announcement for you, but I'm going to save it for the end of the show.
Okay. Now, you talked about what you did. What I did, I did some comical book reading. I worked over the holiday weekend, but I had the Monday off. And it was beautiful, just beautiful outside. And I grabbed a book that I'd bought a while back, but I hadn't had time to read. And I grabbed a big gold frosty beverage. And I went out on my porch. And actually, it's the deck. Went out on the deck. And my new Sirius XM receiver is strong enough that it can, that a FM radio can pick up signals from much further away. So I got my little MP3 player, which picks up FM signals. I turned the Sirius XM to the Underground Garage, which is kind of a rockabilly roots rock station. And I sat out on the deck and I read Blazing Combat. Blazing Combat was a four-issue magazine put out by James Warren, who put out Creepy and Eerie and Vampirella and Famous Monsters of Filmland. And Blazing Combat only lasted four issues because of low sales. And if you read the book, he blames the low sales on American. Actually, he blames it on the American Legion, saying that they weren't happy with the anti-war stance of the book, and that the military read it and wouldn't allow it to be sold in military bases. As I read through it, I think that, yeah, the military might not have liked it and the American Legion might not have liked it, but it also was in the mid-60s when people would see a war book and go, I don't want that. DC's war books pretty much got canceled in the 60s. People didn't want to read war books back then. But reading through, these are the best military war type comics I've read other than the Kurtzman Two-Fisted Tales and Frontline Combat stuff from EC. Many of the same artists as the EC books. You had some beautiful black and white artwork by John Severin, Wally Wood. You had some Gene Colan stuff. You had some Alex Toth stuff in there. All but two of the stories were written by Archie Goodwin, and the two that weren't written by Archie Goodwin were written by Wally Wood. And it came at a time when, you know, Archie Goodwin was the editor at Warren. And if you think about it, Warren pretty much recreated EC. He had the Creepy and Eerie, which were that EC style of horror book. He had Harvey Kurtzman doing a magazine called Help, which kind of gave birth to the underground movement, because a lot of underground artists got their first work there, like R. Crumb and, I can't think of any of the other guys, but there were a lot. Gilbert Sheldon had work in there. A lot of guys from the underground movement had their early work in there. And then Blazing Combat was like the war books. I highly recommend it. The cover price is $28, but I looked around on the internet and you can get it for a lot less if you look around or if you're willing to buy it used. Now I have some problems with how Fantagraphics put it together, because what they did, they just have all the stories and they say in the table of contents that they have the cover art, which was all painted by Frank Frazetta. Nope, they don't have the cover art. Mm. Unless you're reading the small print, you don't know where one issue ends and one issue begins. You don't get the editorial, which the Warren books always had good editorials, and the letters pages would talk about the artists. But all the stories are there, highly, highly recommended. And now that they're reprinting Creepy and Eerie, they're reprinting Vampirella, I wish they'd do a reprint of Help. I know that Greg Theakson was going to do a reprint of Help because a lot of that stuff has gone public domain, or they thought it was public domain. But I guess James Warren, who's still alive, has said, nope, it's not public domain. And we're going to be putting together a classy reprint of it. And he said that 4 years ago.
That's funny how you talked about just sitting outside, because I did that yesterday. I pulled out, I think, 5 copies of Knights of the Dinner Table magazine, because I've been behind from being in Alaska, and the newest issue just came out. Now, if you're a gamer, or have you been a gamer, heck, comic guys too, I actually recommend you pick one of these up, because it's a quaint little magazine that actually I've been reading since issue 1. And this is one of those regrets I have in comic books, that I actually sold my issue number 1 years ago, because back then it came out and it was so low run that I'll never see another one again unless I want to pay like $200-$300 for it. But I mean, and I think I have like from the mid-18s up. And right now, the last issue came out was 176, and they've been doing pretty good. The main part of it are the 4 players, the Knights of the Dinner Table, and they're always never-ending battle against the GM playing a game, Hackmaster.
Which is pretty much Dungeons & Dragons without any of the character stuff.
Well, what's funny is that Hackmaster is now an actual game.
Yeah, you know, and it won a bunch of awards for best game of the year when it came out.
Yeah, and what it is that the story works on a couple different levels. First of all, you got all these different characters running around trying to, you know, and they're playing the game against the GM. The game itself, you know, which is very well put together. What's kind of neat about this is the Hackmaster is as if there's a an actual Hackmaster organization that monitors dungeon masters, or I should call them game masters, and the players. And if you don't like the way something goes, you can appeal. You can appeal upwards and downwards. So it's like it's an actual organization, not just a bunch of guys getting together playing the game, loosely doing it how they want. I mean, if somebody violates a rule, there are consequences. One of the GMs who's been disbarred for a number of issues has to wear a hubcap of shame around his neck because of something he did that's wrong. And the story switches around from the players to the game shop to this guy I talked about in his group. There's three or four different groups up to the gamers. One of the gamer, the guy, what do they call him? Gary? I can't remember his name.
Oh, I can't remember either.
Oh, I have it right here. Gary, well, I'm never going to find it in time. Anyways, he's basically loosely based off the guys who do the actual Dungeons and Dragons. And there's an ongoing story where people thought he was dead for a while, and he actually wasn't. He came back. His wife got a hold of the company and started introducing things like, why are you killing characters in Hackmaster? Why don't you just have a party with them instead? And see, she kind of eviscerated the entire game and started to go under. He came back from the dead, secretly took it over. But all these stories just keep...
Well, he did come back from the dead. He faked his death.
Yeah, because it was something to do with the mob. And, what's fun about the series is that if you want to, and I'm trying to find it here, you don't have to buy the book. You can actually go online, and I may have to just post it later because I can't find the ad, where you could actually sample. They do a weekly or daily strip. I can't remember what it is. And then they also do, I think it's, I'll give you it here. It's www.kenzerco.com. KENZERCO.com. And they have weekly strips so you can check it out, see if it resonates with you. And if you've played games before, it will. You can buy the old strips rather than trying to pay $200-$300 for issue one. You can go get it in your Bundle of Trouble reprints. You can also go online as well. I think they've got everything online. Some of it you may have to download and pay for. But that's just the
first pay for magazine. Pay for.
I know nobody does that anymore. But the rest of the magazine deals with gaming, deals with comics. If you're an active gamer, they might give you some ideas you can run. What they recently done that just fascinated the heck out of me is they take a campaign and they kind of publish it in there. So you're reading through it, and it was almost like reading one of those old books where you flip the page and decide, do I go to page 59 for this, or do I go to page 74 for this? And it gives you all the details and a map and a dungeon to crawl through, and just a lot of fun. There's people talking about their experiences, a good letter column. I probably bored half the people who don't game, but if you are a gamer or you have been, check this out, either online or go buy yourself a copy. I had literally six copies of this magazine. And I sat pretty much most of yesterday, same thing. Had a drink, had frosted over because it was nice and toasty outside, and I just sat back and read these. I mean, for pound for pound, you're talking, this is a $4.99 book, and I buy it monthly, and you know how cheap I am. I mean, if I don't get a lot of it, I will dump it and wait till it's in the dime box up at Paradox Comics in Fargo, North Dakota.
Yeah, you're in love with that. You are just going to be talking about.
Oh man, I am dying to get back there with my comic list because I'd be picking up crap that I either have no idea what it was or stuff that I purposely ignored. Heck, I may just buy all the different mates just so I can burn them.
He's gonna puke. Oh. He's gonna puke.
But you know, that's just the way it is.
The other comic that I've been reading kind of faithfully is F4 or FF for what's it called now? Freedom Foundation or whatever. It's the Fantastic Four. And I'll be honest, I am a huge Fantastic Four fan, and when they said they were going to get rid of the Human Torch and bring in Spider-Man, it was, you know, that's, I could see doing that, but I am going to get so bored with it so fast, I just don't care. Jonathan Hickman is making that idea work. And that's a hard idea, because when I am a huge Fantastic Four fan. It was the second comic I bought with my own money. It was the comic I had the longest run of, and Tom DeFalco's writing finally made me drop it when they did the whole Reed is dead, and, well, he's going to be dead for at least 2 years because issue 400 is 2 years away. Sorry. And I thought it would be like that, where everything was, well, the Human Torch, we need to find him, and you're just basically waiting and waiting in place. But the ideas that they are throwing out in that book are amazing. It reminds me a lot of Kirby, where Kirby would just throw ideas at the wall and just endlessly. And if they fit and people liked it, great. If not, moving on to the next one. Doesn't matter. Keep going. Boom, boom, boom. They're throwing tons of ideas out there. I'm impressed with it. I don't know how long it will be FF, because we did not see the Human Torch's body.
Yeah.
But for the first time since they've done a story kind of like this, I don't feel like we're wasting time waiting for the Human Torch to come back. Really impressed with it. I'm glad that every so often they're putting out two issues a month, because I like the fact that it has a flow to it. There are a lot of continued comics where you pick up the next issue and it's been a month since you read it. So you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to read the description. I still feel like I'm missing stuff. It takes a couple pages to kind of figure out where you were. But this one, it's just, new issue, got to read. Same with Walking Dead, new issue. Got to read. Remember everything about last 88 issues. Got to read.
You know, and that's one, Walking Dead's actually one that I've actually added, because now that I've caught up in graphic novels, I may change my mind. I haven't decided, but I just can't wait. I got to stick with it.
So as we're getting near the end of the show, as I said, this was kind of a potpourri. There's a news item here I want to talk about a little bit. With the San Diego Comic-Con releasing its schedule of events for Thursday, July 21st, one event stood out. What event do you think that is, Joe? Was it the SpongeBob SpongePants meet and greet?
Yeah, that was it.
Was it the Avengers panel?
Yeah, that was it. No.
Was it Mark Evanier interviewing the guy who drew the backgrounds in Spider-Man number 95?
That's it. No, it isn't.
Nope. Amongst all the various parades of current publishers hawking their wares, was an event scheduled for 5 p.m. First Comics, the first of the great independents, is back with a fury.
Was that the crickets?
First Comics is coming back.
Yeah, is it
now,
the world?
Now let's see.
You know, I remember American when I flag bought. I remember when moved. I bought my copy of Flashpoint and Fear Itself from the guys who have the Dime Comics up in Paradox Comics, North Dakota, Fargo, North Dakota. And I commented that, you know, here I'm buying a bunch of 10-cent comics and then a $3.99 book. And I thought, I asked them, I said, no, seriously, should I wait 10 years and buy Fear Itself in your dime bins, or should I buy them? Seriously, that's how I greet this particular announcement.
Well, here's what I'm thinking, because here's now, when First was around, they were one of my favorite publishers. They were my favorite publisher until I would say Kamiko hit their golden age. But at their peak, First Comics had American Flag, which is now over at Image, Grimjack, John Sable, Star Slayer, which are all over at IDW, Warp, which was an adaptation of a stage play and really didn't sell all that well, Nexus and Badger, which Badger's at IDW and the sales were horrible. And Nexus, the creators own it, and they can't publish it because they can't make money on it.
Did they do a Gru special?
Nope. That was Eclipse.
Okay. So far, every publisher that's done Drew has gone under. Or got hurt.
Image didn't go under.
Well, it's not as powerful as or big as it was.
Marvel Dark Horse didn't go under.
Marvel went bankrupt. So let's just say whoever publishes Drew, bad things happen. And Mark Evanier will bear me out on that one.
So here are the creators who are going to be at the panel. They haven't announced any books yet. You've got Joe Stanton and Nick Cutie, who did E-Man, a book that I really liked. But it's been bouncing around publisher to publisher since first went under, and none of them have really done well because they're always like, if this book sells well, we're going to have a new series. And then 3 years later, it's at another publisher. If this book sells well, we're going to have a new series. You got Bill Willingham. He's going to be there. Max Allen Collins is going to be there. And the rest of the people who are going to be at this panel are people who work in production and editorial. Now, First Comics was one of the publishers that came to one of our early conventions. And they're the publisher where, you know, they had the representative there. And I was working at Shinders at the time, and I asked him about, well, you know, First is doing this thing where they're going to go to all miniseries in prestige format. And I said, these are the last miniseries. Once these are done, we're done. Really? Yeah, we haven't announced it yet because we know if we do, nobody's going to buy any of this stuff. But I would say when the last issue of, and I forget what the miniseries was, when the last issue of blah, blah, blah is out, the day it leaves the printer is the day we send the press release that we're shutting down. So they've been gone for 20 years. I don't think anybody's going to remember. And when I look back on First, you know why I loved those comics so much? All the books that I loved, all the books that were so great and are being reprinted and are thought of as classics, were edited by Mike Gold. And when Mike Gold went over to DC, that's when First wasn't that good a publisher anymore. And I don't see Mike Gold's name anywhere on this announcement. And I went over to Mike Gold's website, and I don't see him talking about how he's going to be working for him. So I wouldn't be holding my breath that this is going to be any bigger than when Atlas came back.
Atlas came back the very next day.
Or
and went to Dimebox.
Or the Jim Shooter Valiant stuff at Dark Horse, or the Valiant stuff, which they've been talking about for 3 years and have yet to announce a single book. Somebody needs to explain to me why, if you're a publisher, you would want to go with an old name of a company that failed. That would be like, you know what? We're going to have this new drink, and it's going to be just as popular as Coke and Pepsi. And you know what we're calling it, Joe?
Orbitz.
OK Soda.
Hey, don't mock OK. We had fun with it. And I did. I called up Corey when we were out in one of the restaurants. There's a restaurant chain called Space Aliens.
Oh, dear God. Yeah, I don't even want to know what they serve.
Oh, it was, I think it's called, or is it Space Intruders? I forget. But you know, it's basically an alien space sci-fi themed restaurant. And I think the closest ones around here are up near St. Cloud for us. But I had to text Corey because I saw a bottle of something I thought I would never, ever see again. A bottle of Orbitz. If you don't recall Orbitz, I will refer you to my, my personal Facebook page. I think I link occasionally onto the official Crazy Comics, but you could go to one of my photo albums. And I can't remember if it's the one, the Hot Comics, or just, Odd Things, or just Google it, Orbitz Soda, and you'll get pictures of it. I mean, it was a sugary concoction where it had little tiny balls of flavor floating in it. And, I'm not quite sure. I don't know. All I remember is we tried drinking it, and if you had a bad gag reflex, it wasn't for you. We isolated the little balls.
If it makes you vomit, you probably shouldn't drink it.
Well, we sold it, and that's all that mattered.
I remember the first time I saw the stuff and it had the little balls floating in it. And I shook it because, well, if the balls are floating in it, it probably is like drinking a big jar of Karo syrup. But no, it was really liquid. You know, because you look at it and you think when you pour it out, it would pour like ketchup.
Yeah.
But no, it poured like regular, you know, soda. Oh, it was horrible. It was horrible, horrible crap.
Well, now I think we've come to the surprise I was talking about.
Yep, we're getting near the end of the show.
Time for me to pack up and get moseying on.
You're leaving the show?
Yeah, I think the next time we do the podcast, I'm going to be doing it from beautiful downtown Farmington, New Mexico. That's where I'll be heading, yep.
Isn't that where there are all the fires?
Well, Farmington, New Mexico is a city in San Juan County, New Mexico. As of the 2000 U.S. Census, the city has a total population of about, who cares? You can go Wikipedia it on your own. That's where I'm going. Sad thing is, as you all want to know, the first thing I do is I check out the weather. I check out where I'm going. I check out where I'll be working. And, of course, I check out where the comics are. The nearest comics are in Albuquerque. And unfortunately,
isn't that where you're supposed to take a left turn?
Yep. And unfortunately,
crickets like that joke a lot.
Way too far away for me to get to. I'll be doing 8 weeks, whole comic books.
So now you say 8 weeks, but I would like to remind the people, how long were you supposed to be in Barrow?
30 days.
How long were you supposed to be in Washington, D.C.?
3 months.
Now, when you first went there, it was much shorter in Washington. I remember
that. I got there in March. I was supposed to go home in June.
And how long were you there until?
Until September.
Okay. When you went to Barrow, when were you supposed to come home?
I got there December 27th. I was supposed to come home at the end of January.
And when did you leave?
I think I'm still there. Part of me is.
So how long did they say you're going to be there?
About 8 weeks.
You're never coming home, are you?
I should be home in time for the Midwest Comic Book Association Fall Con Comic Park Saturday, October 16th.
You're such a whore.
Yeah. Actually, that's the wrong date. I gotta go. It's October 15th, 2011, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The Minnesota State Fairgrounds in the Progressive Center. This is the original One Day Wonder.
Glenn Beck says that progressives are evil. So if you go in to the Progressive Center, will you turn evil? Will you have a little devil on your shoulder that says, you need to buy more comics, fanboy?
That could be. You might need that. I just tell you, there's two albums that I've been putting, and I can't remember on Facebook if I linked them to our site. The first one is, there it is, Hot Comics St. Paul. It's just pictures. I don't have a lot of pictures of my comic store, but I've found a bunch over the weekend, and I've posted a few up so you guys can get an idea just how big the store was. And I actually found a few more. Which of the bigger store, which unfortunately Corey's in the way, but I'll post that up. So if you get it, what's nice about it is you get a chance to look at and visualize some of the people we've talked about. I got the Teenage Fan Club, their pictures on there. Ironically, as soon as it was up there, we suddenly became friends with all of them on Facebook, which was cool. I don't think I have a picture of Jess up, the guy who did the Crazy Comics art.
No, but you got a great one of Dave.
Yeah, Dave's there. I got one of Butch on his back, but I did find a couple. I think we talked about it in one of the earlier podcasts, Butch versus the Ultimate Warrior, and I got pictures of it.
Oh!
So we'll put those up online.
We should tell that story next time.
I thought we did, but if we didn't, I'll get it up there and I'll post it for you. So I go off the theory that anything I put online is public knowledge. So and the stuff that isn't you haven't found yet. So meh. So you can go to my Facebook site, which is just Joe Ryder, and under the Hot Comics St. Paul, feel free to browse through and look at stuff. If you want, I could just link it to our official Crazy Comics and Stuff podcast page. The other one, too, is I'm posting pictures from MCBA Fall Cons and Spring Cons of the past under their website, Midwest Comic Book Association, or MCBA. So if you want to see the different pictures, the different people we've been talking about, here's your chance to at least visualize it, or do what I like to do half the time.
Just walk around without pants?
Well, yeah, I've done this entire podcast pants-free. But just imagine it. Because seriously, Corey's not as weird looking as he sounds, even though he is.
There's no way I could be. Delightful. Well, and ladies and gentlemen.
The pictures I have of you are you with your longer hair. I don't have any short hair pictures.
There have been a couple of my coworkers who found those pictures. They're like, oh my God, you look so different. And I say, yeah, I'm tubbier now. They go, no, you were tubby then. It's the hair.
And I'm almost the exact opposite, because everybody looks at me and goes, oh my God, you had hair.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've wasted a little more than an hour of your life listening to us blather on about funny books.
Thank you. I didn't even get to talk about when I saw Neil Gaiman on Friday, June 24th, but I suppose there's always next time.
Yeah, until we're canceled.
True.
Which happens at the end of August.
Is it canceled or rebooted?
All I know is we've been told that younger, better dressed hosts will be taking over the show, and they will not refer to anything in the past except the stuff that was really good.
That'll be a real short broadcast.
Yeah. But we'd like to remind you that, as we always say, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most.